Merry Christmas. I know it's not quite Christmas yet. It always kind of feels a little weird to say that before Christmas when it's not Christmas, but it's coming soon. And this is our last Sunday before Christmas, and so very excited to be here and just talk a little bit more about the truths that we find in the Christmas story. This is part three of a series we've been in. If you missed the first two, I'm going to kind of recap those so you can catch up really quick. We're so glad that you're here to worship with us today. In week one, part one, we talked about tradition. Many times we focus during this time of year on tradition versus the truth of Scripture. And we talked about how God's Word affirms the truth of Scripture. God's Word affirms that Jesus is the Savior. God's Word affirms that Jesus was Emmanuel, God with us. You see, Jesus' name, Jesus itself, means Savior. And we talked about in week one how Jesus' name defined his mission. He came to save, and his mission defined his name, Jesus. Many times we claim that name, but we're not about his mission. We don't proclaim the salvation that comes through him. In week two, we talked about a misunderstanding. A misunderstanding covered up with truth in the Christmas story that we think that when it says Christ came to bring peace, it's a earthly peace. It's a here and now peace. So that when we accept Christ, everything goes perfectly. Everything is fine. Well, we looked at the Christmas story and we looked at what Mary went through and the running away from someone trying to kill baby Jesus, the having a baby in a barn, just being pregnant alone, giving birth alone, laying your baby into essentially a bowl of food that animals eat food out of, a manger. Those things weren't carefree. Those things weren't easy. You see, the peace that Christ came to bring was a peace with God. We could now have a relationship with God again, with our Father again, that we could never have without Christ. And that's the peace that comes at Christmas time. This week, we're going to look at one more truth. One more truth that is covers up a lie. A lie that really comes from Satan. Many times, we think that we cannot share the truth that we know in the Christmas story unless we know all of the truth. Unless we are full of all the knowledge of Scripture. See, as a pastor, many times I'll get a call that goes something like this. Hey, Rick, I have a relative that's passing or sick or whatever it may be, and I have a friend that a neighbor, and I'd like to have you come over and talk to them about Jesus. Would you do that? Sure, I could do that. But why don't you talk to them about Jesus? You're the one with the relationship with them. Well, I don't know. I don't know what to tell them. I'm not sure. Too often, we give into the lie of thinking that we need to know it all before we can proclaim what we know. And Satan loves that lie because it leaves us silent. It leaves us fearful. It leaves us leaving people behind because we're so scared to proclaim any truth because we're afraid we might miss some truth. Well, we can learn a lot from the shepherds today. See, growing up, I had that same fear when it came to school. I've told you several times that I have dyslexia. I grew up and struggled with that throughout my whole childhood. We actually, during the all-nighter, heard a testimony of Mark Hall. He had the same exact problems through school, same exact stories. As he was telling his testimony, I was thinking, that's exactly my life. I used to sit there in class and count ahead how many kids were reading the paragraphs because, you know, the teacher would say, hey, let's read this together. Each of us is going to take a paragraph. And I'd count ahead to my paragraph and I'd read it over and over and over and over and over. And I'd read it probably 30 times before it got to my time to read. And then there'd be some smart girl in class that would think she's brilliant. It could be a boy too. But it was usually a girl at that age, third grade, fourth grade. And she'd read two paragraphs and throw the whole thing off. And so I'd go to the next paragraph and I'd start reading that and reading that. And then the teacher would go, well, Billy, you read a short one, so you can read another one. And then I'd be off again, I'd start reading another one, and by the time it came to my turn, I hadn't even made it through it once before I got there. And I was so scared to read. Even though I knew a little bits and pieces of it, I was so scared about the pieces I didn't know that it made me silent. And I didn't want to do it anymore. And I got to a point eventually where one of the teachers knew how scared I was of it, and she said, "Rick, you don't have to read in class anymore." And it was like a weight off my shoulders. I think we've taken that approach with the message of truth that comes at Christmas time, that comes through Christ's life, the message of the cross. We're so afraid that we don't know every bit and piece of it that we become silent with the message. Let's learn from the shepherds today. We're going to be once again in the book of Luke. Luke chapter 2, verse 1 through 20, we're going to be looking at. And we'll focus on different aspects of this as we go through. But we're going to read the Christmas story again. I just love reading it and hearing it. So let's go ahead and dive in. Luke 2, starting in verse 1, reading through verse 20. And you'll have it in different segments up here as we read along. It all won't fit on one slide, unless it's really small. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that the whole empire should be registered. This first registration took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. So everyone went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth to Galilee, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and family line of David, to be registered along with Mary, who was engaged to him and was pregnant. While they were there, the time came for her to give birth. Then she gave birth to her first son, and she wrapped him snugly in cloth and laid him in a feeding trough, because there was no room for them in the lodging place. In the same region, shepherds were staying out in the fields and were keeping watch at night over their flock. Then the angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for look, I proclaim to you good news of great joy that will be for all people. Today a Savior, who is Messiah the Lord, was born for you in the city of David. This will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in cloth and lying in a feeding trough." Suddenly, there was a multitude of heavenly hosts with the angel praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven and peace on earth to people he favors." When the angel had left them and returned to heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go straight to Bethlehem and see what has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." They hurried off and found both Mary and Joseph and the baby who were lying in the feeding trough. Mary wasn't in there. Jesus was. Who was lying in the feeding trough. After seeing them, they reported the message they were told about this child. And all who heard were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary was treasuring up all these things in her heart and meditating on them. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had seen and heard, just as they had been told. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for your word. We are challenged by your word. We are encouraged by your word. Many times, your word leaves us fearful. Fearful of the call to proclaim. We're so afraid of what we don't know that we become silent with what we do know. Lord, I pray that today you will teach us through the lives of the shepherds here, through the proclamation that they made, Lord. I pray that you'll guide us through the scripture today. Holy Spirit, speak to our hearts today. Guide the words that they will be your words and not my words, Lord. That you will receive glory and honor, and that no one else here will. Lord, this time is about you and you alone. So teach us today. And Lord, may we respond to it, not walking out the door the same as we were before. But Lord, changed by your word, changed by you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. When I read this the first few times, there were some things that jumped out right away, and then kind of as I was studying, more and more jumped out. And so we'll go through actually five different key truths that are taught here with the shepherds that we can learn about proclaiming the message of salvation. And we'll get to those in a second. But right away when I read this, verse 1, 2, and 3 kind of jumped out to me as I was reading this. And we should have them up there so you can kind of follow along. It says this: "In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that the whole empire should be registered. The first registration took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. So everyone went to be registered, each to his own town." Now, you read that, and it's a historical account, and it's, and you may go, well, there's not a whole lot of spiritual truth in that. I mean, yeah, it's history, and it's just kind of fact, but what can we gather from that passage itself? And when I read that, I was thinking about the decree of man. Right away, we see, in those days, a decree went out from this guy, Caesar Augustus. And so there was this decree that went out from a man. And then in verse 3, we see, so everyone went to be registered, each to his own town. This decree from a man caused a response from man. Does that describe us? When man decrees something, commands something, calls us to do something, or says something that is totally opposite of what we believe and think, does it cause a reaction in us? Most of the time. Whether it's a boss, whether it's somebody you love in your family, whether it's a neighbor. If they say something or ask for help or call for you to do something, it's pretty typical that we respond. Okay, that's the response that we have towards men's decrees. What about God's decree? You see, God has given us the command to go into all the world and make disciples. God has given us the command to go and tell people about him. We're called to be a light to this world. You see, Psalm 96, 2 through 3 says this: "Sing to Yahweh, praise his name, proclaim his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the nations, his wonderful work among all people." That's a command to proclaim salvation is found in God alone. It's a command for us to do that. And so what is our response to God's decree in our life? Are we concerned about man's decrees more than we are God's decrees in our life? Because man's decrees many times cause an action, a response. God's decrees, many times we say, I believe it, but we don't do anything with it. That just jumped out to me and challenged me right off the bat. See, we are called to be proclaimers of God's word. And so this example set out by the shepherds, I want this to encourage us all to cover up Satan's lie that you have to be a know-it-all and know every single passage in Scripture and be afraid to make a mistake. I want to cover up that lie with this example set by the shepherds today. Verse 8 and 9 is where we're going to start with the shepherds. Here's the example of proclaiming truth. The example that we can follow that if we do these things, we will be able to proclaim truth. And the first one is this. It's found in verse 8 and 9. To proclaim truth, the shepherds were available. They were available. See, 8 and 9 says this: "In the same regions, shepherds were staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flocks at night." At night over their flocks, okay. I kind of combine the memorization of Scripture with the actual reading of Scripture sometimes. He goes on, "Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified." We can't miss the fact that these guys were at work in their jobs doing their livelihood when God sent the angels to give them a message. And we can't miss the fact that the shepherds didn't say this. We're working right now. Could you come back when I clock out? A break time, maybe? Because this is what I got to do to supply for my family. So I don't got time right now to be about the message of God. I got to work. I got to make a little livelihood. See, these guys were in the middle of their work night. And God was able to enter that without complaint, without saying, I don't got time, without saying, I'm too busy in life for you, God. And his message was able to pour into their life. And so, are you available? Is your schedule free enough for God to reign in your life? Or is your schedule so packed that your schedule reigns your life? That's your God. Because it's become so full of other stuff that you don't have time for God's message to take part in that. Too much going on right now, God, to be a part of your message, a part of your call. I got school, I got work, I got family, I got home, I got responsibility. My schedule's full, God. I gave you your time. Sunday morning, I gave that to you. Maybe it wasn't last week because I missed last week, but maybe it was the week before. But the rest of this time, that's my time, God. Is your time available for God? For him to enter at any time and say, Rick, go. Do this. Go see what I'm about to do, what I have done. Shepherds were available. That's key to proclaiming God's word. The second thing also found in 9 and 10 there is the shepherds listened to God's message. 9:10 actually goes on to 11 and 12 as the message was proclaimed. And so as they were in the fields and the angels appeared, then the shepherds got pretty terrified in 10 there. And it says, but the angels said to them, don't be afraid, for look, I proclaim to you good news of great joy that will be for all people. And so in the midst of this work day, they were able to stop to listen and respond to God's word. See, I don't think many of us are going to, or any of us are going to, have an angel that's going to appear during our work day, maybe. God can do it if he wants to. But God's message today is proclaimed right here in his word. And in order to be about the proclamation of his message, we need to be willing and available to hear the message of God's word. Whether that's a Sunday morning, that's nice. But what about in your daily lives? Are we able to listen to God's message on a daily basis? Are we able to maybe hear it more than once a week? Do we listen to God's word, or do we just go because that's kind of the tradition that we've always done? Just a thought. Are we able to listen to God's word like the shepherds were? And so the key to proclaiming God's word is to listen to God's word. Next, the key to proclaiming is to believe and to act upon God's word. Verse 15. When the angels had left them and returned to heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let's go straight to Bethlehem and see what has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. You see, at that moment, they didn't go, okay, Billy, you're staying here with the sheep. Okay, Frank, you can go halfway, but you need to be close enough so Billy can call you and yell at you, or you can see his fire that he's waving. And then we'll go the rest of the way, and then we'll take turns. And we'll take turns doing this God thing for a moment. See, they believed the message so clearly that they dropped everything that they were doing and went to see Jesus. dropped it all. Reminds me of the disciples. Disciples, when they were called to follow Christ, what'd they do? They dropped their nets. They left them there. They didn't say, hey, let me fold this up. Let me go take the boat to my dad. Let me do all these things. No, they dropped it all to follow Christ. Gave it all up. You know, the disciples that we know of, the 12 disciples, they weren't the only ones called. There were others that were called, other disciples that said they wanted to follow Jesus. But those disciples that said they wanted to follow Jesus and the other ones that Jesus called that didn't end up being part of that 12, their response was this. First, let me go do this. And they had a thing that they needed to go do first before they could follow God's call. And those, we don't even know about because they didn't end up following Christ. You see, their belief of the shepherds was so true to them that it caused them to act upon it. They didn't just say to one another, you know, do you believe it? Do you believe what the angels just said? Yeah, I believe it. Do you believe? Yeah, I believe for sure. It's so true. Okay, well, let's get back to these sheep now. They went, took action, not just talked about it, took action in their lives by going and seeing Christ. And the next key, the fourth key is this, to proclaim they stayed together. In verse 16 and 17, here's what happens. They hurried off and found both Mary and Joseph. And so that word they is there. It doesn't say he. It doesn't say one of them. It doesn't say part of them, they. They went off. They hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the feeding trough. After seeing them, they reported the message that they were told about the child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. Not shepherd, shepherds. For some reason, we have a thought in today's world that we can do this Christian life on our own. That we can believe, take action, but then we're good. We can live it out by ourselves. Christianity, a faith in Christ as your Lord and Savior, is a personal decision. But the design is not for us to be out on our own. The design is to be with others, to walk through life together, to build each other up, to encourage each other, to hold each other accountable. That's what Scripture calls us to do. But many times we think, well, I can do that every once in a while. I can plug into a church every once in a while, but that's not God's design. God's design is for you to be a part of a church family and to walk with each other in your lives. And the shepherds set this amazing example here to me. They didn't send just one to go see and one to go tell and one to come back. They went together and they saw together and they came out from there together and they proclaimed together and people heard the message from multiple people at one time and not just one person all by themselves. You see, Hebrews talks about the importance of being together as Christians. Hebrews 10, verse 24 and 25 says this, and let us be concerned about one another in order to promote love and good works. Not staying away from worship meetings, as some habitually do, but encouraging each other, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. It's this idea of plugging in to a body of believers is so important. Follow the example of the shepherds, and if you want to be able to proclaim God's word, get with God's family so that you can be strengthened, you can grow, and then in numbers, that strength will be lived out as you proclaim, you pray for each other, you hold each other accountable in life. Last, fifth point is this. To proclaim God's word, the shepherds, they stuck to the truth. Look at verse 17. After seeing them being Mary and Joseph and the baby, Jesus, they reported the message they were told about this child. They didn't add to it. They didn't take away from it. They reported the truth that they knew, the truth that they saw, the truth that they had experienced personally. They didn't say to each other, you know what, we need to know a little bit more. We need to have a deeper understanding. Once I've memorized all of John, then I'll be ready to share. Once I know the Roman road, then I'll be able to tell someone about Jesus. No. They proclaimed the message they heard, the message they experienced, the message they knew to the people they came in contact with. They didn't add to it. They didn't take away from it. So what was the message that they knew that was talked about in verse 17? The message that they had heard, that they were told about this child? Well, the message itself comes in verse 10 and 11 when it says this. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for look, I proclaim to you good news of great joy that will be for all people. Today, a Savior who is Messiah, the Lord, was born for you in the city of David." Starts out with this good news, this proclamation of the gospel message. I proclaim to you the good news. That word good news and gospel many times are kind of traded off back and forth throughout Scripture. So what is this good news? What is the gospel? 1 Corinthians 15:1-4 proclaims this, and we'll put it up here for you to follow along with, maybe. Yeah. Here we go. "Now, brothers, I want to clarify for you the gospel. I proclaim to you, you received it and have taken your stand on it. You are also saved by it. If you hold to the message I proclaim to you, unless you believe for no purpose. For I passed on to you as most important what I also received." Here's the message. "That Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. That he was buried and that he rose again on the third day according to the Scriptures." That's the gospel message. You see, Jesus, he came and he died for our sins. He died for me, for you. He took our punishment that we deserved. We've all heard that story. We all know that story. There's a cross hanging in every church, hanging around half the necks in our country. Crosses are everywhere. We know the story. Well, the story didn't end at the cross. You see, Christ rose again 3 days later, basically proving that the check that he paid for our life, that it cleared. His life was good enough to pay for our life. And so we have a Savior that's not on the cross. We have a Savior that lives in us, that changes our lives forever, that affects us. He is alive today. That's the good news. It goes on and it says, the good news is this. And it's a great joy in verse 10 and 12. It goes on, good news of great joy that will be for all people. Romans 4:7-8 talks about this great joy that we receive and says, how joyful are those whose lawless acts are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Did you know that your sin is covered by Christ when you accept him as Lord of your life and Savior of your life? Your sin is gone. We dwell on sin a lot. We hold on to sin a lot. We regret sin a lot. It's gone. And so how joyful is the man the Lord will never charge with sin? It's pretty amazing. That is the good news of great joy that'll be for all people. See, the angels go on and they proclaim this. A Savior was born. A Savior, a rescuer was born. The one that was going to pull us out from being an enemy of God to having peace with God. The one that was going to pull us out from death to having life. A Savior, a rescuer. And it says this, who is Messiah? Messiah being the deliverer, the promised one, the one that had been told about since Genesis all the way up. They were expecting this deliverer to come, and he had come. And he was lying in a feeding trough. It's amazing to me still how dirty and nasty a feeding trough is. And Jesus was lying in that dirty, nasty, filthy feeding trough covered in saliva from animals. But Jesus came and took my dirty, nasty sin on himself, covered himself in my sin so that I could be covered in his blood, his perfect blood. That's amazing to me still. He goes on, and after this Messiah proclamation, the deliverer proclamation, it says this, the Lord. Messiah, the Lord. He's authority. He's in charge. He's in control. He is master. Is he your master? Is he your authority? Is he in control of your life? Is he your Lord? You see, he was born for all of us. That's a message we all know. Jesus saves. Jesus died for our sins. He rose again. That's a message we've all heard. He's the Messiah. He's Lord. We've heard these things over and over and over, but we get caught up in the lie of thinking that we can't proclaim that truth. The shepherds were not well-educated people. They didn't have God's word to even open and read. They had one message to proclaim, and they proclaimed it. They had one message that they heard, and they went out and told everybody about it. Today a Savior, who is Messiah the Lord, was born for you in the city of David. That was it. And it says that they went out after seeing them, after seeing the manger scene that we see on Christmas. After being a part of it, they reported the message they were told about the child. And all who heard it were amazed. Are you willing to set aside the lie, the myth, that you have to know it all, and cover it with the truth of God's word, and proclaim what you know, that Jesus came to save? Simple message. Jesus came to save. He came to save me because I needed it so much. And he came to save you. Don't think you have to know it all. Proclaim that. Take people into God's word after that. You don't have to have it all memorized. There's nothing the shepherds weren't able to go, well, let me share with you the Roman road. I haven't memorized every single verse. No, they just proclaim that simple message. Don't let Satan's lie that you have to know it all cover up the truth that all you need is to be available. All you need is to listen to God's word. Believe and act upon God's word. Surround yourself with other believers so that you can grow with each other. Don't do this on your own. You're not meant to do that. And then proclaim what you know. Proclaim the truth. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this example. This example the shepherds set. They did not know it all, at all. They had heard one message. They were in the middle of their work day, and you sent your angels, your message to them. And they responded in a mighty way. Through their availability, They actually listened to your word. And then they believed it so much that they acted upon your word. That they didn't do it alone, that they went with others to go see you. And then after seeing you and seeing the message to be true, they went out and they proclaimed the truth that they knew to others. Lord, help us not to be fearful and to fall into this lie that Satan has that we have to be know-it-alls, that we have to know every single passage, that it even is about us and what we know. You've just called us to proclaim the message of salvation to others, and you're going to do the work, not us. So, Lord, help us not to be fearful. Well, Lord, this Christmas, those in our family that do not know you, help us to proclaim that you are a Savior. Those are our neighbors that put up Christmas lights that have no idea what Christmas is all about other than this baby that came and laid in a feeding trough. Lord, help us to proclaim that you are a Savior. You came so that they could have hope, Lord. And Lord, help us not to be fearful, thinking we may mess up because we don't know enough and we never will. Help us not to rely on somebody else to be the messenger. But Lord, help us to proclaim. Even in the face of fear, help us to proclaim. See, these shepherds were terrified when they heard your message. And many times we are terrified to proclaim your message. Take away our fear. And Lord, if you don't take it away, give us boldness to speak in the midst of it, Lord. The message of truth, the message of salvation found in Jesus alone. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.